Need a new set of optics? For more than a decade, Riton Optics has been providing optic solutions for hunters and shooters of all types and disciplines. Check out their Primal line for those products geared more towards us hunters. From binoculars and spotting scopes to your basic 3-9 scopes and longer range crossover models, the Primal line from Riton was made for hunters. Learn more at RitonOptics.com. That's Riton, R-I-T-O-N, Optics.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Here we are.
Awkward dudes. Let's do it. Let's do the thing. You got it.
Here. All right.
This is the OKest Hunter podcast. Never pass on shooter bucks. If that's just meat in the freezer. It's your tag. You hunt how you want. This is OKest Hunter.
I forgot to do the so people
clap on.
Do the thing.
Do the thing.
I could do like this. A couple claps. Really get it going. Welcome to the OKest Hunter podcast. Coming at you from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin tonight. Greg is finally back in studio. It's good to see your face.
It's good
beard.
To not be sick.
Look at you. You're here. You're here, not on a screen. I can punch you in the face if I want to. I mean, I would never
punch you in
that.
The face, but I won't.
Just about your face. I just want to punch it.
Thanks. Face only a mother could love.
You got a face for radio.
Face
son.
For radio, buddy.
I tell you.
You got it.
Well, I don't know where I am. I don't know. What to
Oconomowoc in your basement, Wisconsin. It is nice out. Hey, 52 degrees, sunny today.
It's been a busy
Feels
day.
Feels like March weather.
This is my second podcast of the day. I have another one after this, three stacked in tonight.
Wow, you are a busy fella.
So forgive me if I trip over any words. I got the bourbon this time around to help
that should,
me through.
This should help you out with that.
Red Bull on the last one. We'll see what I look like in a couple hours from now. But we are brought to you by Half Rack. So go to half-rack.com. Use code OHP. They have some fun new products hitting the market. I mean, if you look in the studio, if you ever watch on YouTube or live, we got the hunter hangers all over this place, holding up, you know, microphones and headsets and saddles and bows. We got it holding up the bear bow there with the new bear sign. That's kind of neat addition. I finally found a good way to stick that thing to the wall so it wouldn't fall.
Nice.
It took me 2 days to figure that out. Got some command tape. That's a thing. I got a rack hub thing over here behind you. You can pop that antler off, keep it on, twist it around, move it about. It's a really neat display from Rack Hub, one of our newer partners that we just added on. Good way to showcase your memories or show off your sheds and keep them in every room of your house without your wife getting mad that there's eyeballs staring at her from some stuffed animal. But it's not to diminish the stuffed animals. Obviously, we love those as well. We got a couple of them in here, but you know, it's nice to have options and budget-friendly ones at that. So. Pretty neat there. And Spartan Forge, boy oh boy, I don't know if you watched or saw what they did at NWTF, but they were showing off a new feature, a chatbot that's coming down the pike, and it is impressive. So be sure to jump on their platform. You get 20% off. Use code OHP. You have to do it from a website first, spartanforge.ai, and then when you go to the app, you can take advantage of that. It's free to download, free to use. Obviously, you want to pay the subscription. You're going to get more bang for your buck and get more out of it, so definitely check it out. Same thing, Rack Hub. Use code OHP if you want to save some money on. We got a couple other versions here. Greg's going to try out, and Derek's going to try out. So the one I have on the wall behind Greg is just a single antler one. Which is
that means I actually have to find sheds.
Yeah, you better, man.
It might actually mean I have to get out this year and look for some.
Derek's finding them. So.
Well, Derek, that's second nature. That's like telling him to drink water. Find sheds.
Oh, I found
okay,
a shed.
No
oh,
problem.
Look, another shed. Ooh, a piece of candy.
Yeah. Oh, look, a piece of candy.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. A crazy guy. What else? I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, so we're gonna be at the Wisconsin Dells Open Season Sportsman Show March 22nd to the 24th, booth 1718, I think. Wow, I'm surprised that just all came to my memory like that. Greg won't be there because he's a bitch. I'm just kidding.
Whatever.
And Derek won't be there because he's a bitch.
We're just going on vacation without you, and you're a little pissed off about it.
You know what's sad? Is like,
you got a little sand in your shorts about it.
It's everyone else that's like, they don't care about Eric. They care about Greg and Derek. So they're like, where's Greg?
See,
where's
and
Derek?
Here's and the like, guilt trip.
And I'm like,
here we go.
Oh, sorry, they're not here, guys.
Is
you're
that all you got?
Stuck with stupid me.
Your shit is weak.
I'm not mad.
What else have
mad.
You got?
They're mad. Y'all are mad.
What
right?
else have you got? No, nobody's mad. I mean, I'm not mad that I have to sit in 70 to 80 degree weather in the sun with a beer in my hand. I'm really not mad.
Fishing
in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm really not mad about that.
I'll be in a trade room with beer in hand talking to people about deer hunting.
Just don't get sick again, okay?
Yeah, that sucked. I rode home with a fever. That was terrible.
That was awful.
Hopefully that won't be a thing, but I think that's all the stuff. Oh yeah, actually, no. So Latitude, if you look at the screen, they have a new logo. It's really small, but you can see it. And boy, the products coming down the pike from those guys, y'all are gonna just drool out all sides of your mouth.
Oh yeah.
I'll leave it be, because like certain things can't be announced just yet, I don't think. But their knee pads, I know you have a pair. They modified them. So now there's two parts to it. So when you walk, it jostles,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't stay stiff on your knee. The way that you strap it on your knee, they don't clink any longer. It's like,
I didn't think mine made a whole lot. I mean, I never had any issues with mine.
Some people must have complained, and they listened. And then there's double the padding, and there's some other features here too that I was looking at and talking to them about before I recorded the show here for recording. And now I'm forgetting some of them, but lots of new benefits into just some simple product like a knee pad. And I use some cheap, shitty store bought ones from like Home Depot or something, and I hate them. They're not good.
They're not that good.
And you use the Latitude ones, and I think you've enjoyed them. I'm probably going to get myself the new version, and be a bit more comfortable in the tree this year. And Silent, the ones I have been running from the store, just Velcro, which is terrible. I don't recommend that. But we do have a guest with us today. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm getting blasted in the face with sunshine here.
Yeah,
it's not a bad problem.
It's just pouring out. You're getting some vitamin D during this podcast. That's great. That's fun. Well, Nick DeCastro with Land Trust, you've been on long, long ago when we were Where to Hunt, I believe, which would have been like...
Yep.
I was going to say, I believe we talked to...
2019 maybe, or 2018, somewhere
yeah.
there.
Would have been 19-ish. I think I started Land Trust in 19, so it must have been like right then.
Oh, wow. You started in 19. So what's... Mm-hmm. I guess walk us through... You're in Montana, but walk us through what's... How did it start and how has it evolved? What's changed since then?
More people actually know about us, so that's a good thing.
That's a plus.
But you guys have messed around with businesses and getting them going and taking something from an idea to actually putting stuff out there. So yeah, it's been a journey for sure. I think the vision hasn't changed a lot. It's opening up access to private lands for hunting, fishing, other outdoor activities through a marketplace. So that's kind of always stayed the same, but certainly, we've grown to about 1.5 million acres in 40 states, and we're just working hard every day to make sure we create a lot of opportunity for both our landowners and sportsmen who use us.
There were a lot of people launching products like yours in those early days of like the 2018, 2019. I think a lot of them have disappeared, and I understand that some of them may have disappeared because of the insurance coverage or like economics or model that surrounded that, and you've stayed, you've lasted, you've overcome. Like, I think when I talked to you back in 2019, you were doing a lot more with like ranchers, and maybe that was a more sustainable model to help you. Like, you need money from one entity of the business to build another. It's really interesting because you almost have to rob your cash flow or starve your cash flow from one entity and then place a bet on the table to pop it into another to see if it'll grow. And it's like you're placing all these bets to see what'll happen. And it's really interesting. I'm curious to hear more about how you've progressed and like you have a few properties here in Wisconsin. You have a few in the Midwest. Like, that's where we are based out of, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Are there states you're stronger in from, like, a hunt perspective? Or, like, maybe talk about some of the trips that people book.
Yeah, for sure. So, we're headquartered up here in Montana. So, you know, we've definitely have, I think Montana's probably the highest density of kind of properties on land trust right now. But Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, North Dakota, Missouri, Iowa are all pretty strong for us. I just got back from NWTF. We were talking about before we hopped on here, and I'm excited about the South and the Southeast. I think there's just so much opportunity. It was incredible how many landowners that I feel like half my conversations there were with landowners who were all like, yeah, we're looking for stuff like this to do with our ground. So definitely a strong concentration up, you know, and we're moving to that South, you know, the Midwest, South, Southeast, as we speak. But, it, you know, takes a lot of effort, and it's, you know, there were definitely have been a lot of companies who've come around, tried to do versions of what we're doing here. A lot of them end up focusing on outfitters and guides, for, you know, one reason or another. We've really focused on the landowner aspect, and you're totally right. Farmers and ranchers, so owner operator farmers and ranchers is really our sweet spot. They're running businesses, and so we understand motivations. I think we know them very well now at this point. We've talked to and worked with, you know, thousands of them getting to this place. So, you know, we've tried all sorts of different landowners, and, you know, marketplaces are really interesting, very difficult things to get going. And they have these seasons in them where, you know, some things work and some don't. There's some stuff we are doing now that works really well for us that we tried in, like, you know, month 6 or month 12. It just doesn't, for one reason or another. So it's been really interesting to kind of, like, observe how these things go. And then we're just also fortunate that we started when we started. Like, there's some technology stuff, you know, rural internet, cell coverage, familiarity with marketplaces and sharing economy platforms like Airbnb, VRBO, that, I mean, I've been messaging with one of a founder of a company that was trying to do this in 2015, and it just didn't work. And
might have been too
early. I don't think it was too early, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the sharing economy stuff was not, you know, as commonplace as it is today. Like I said, smartphone adoption on farm, ranch, and rural areas wasn't where it is. So there's a lot of this stuff that's just timing. You know, it's not, you know, I'm doing something better or worse. Sometimes you just catch a wave, you know?
Do you remember how weird it felt when Uber launched? And you're like, what do you mean you're going to get in some dude's car? It just felt so weird. And now it's like, well, yeah, I can see their picture. They've been background checked. Like, I would feel weirder getting in a taxi cab now than an Uber, but that wasn't the case when it launched. The same thing with a Vrbo or, you know, like, Greg, I know you're going to Florida. You're staying at an Airbnb or a VRBO or something,
well,
right?
Well, to be fair, VRBOs have gotten worse over the years, and there's a few other of those types of situations, you know, where it's vacation rent by owner type stuff. They're not doing as good of a job of vetting, so we found that going through either rental agencies in the local area that know all the homeowners or property owners, or most of the time they're realtors, and that's kind of a side gig for them, is also being able to vet people, the renters and the owners, to be able to go, yep, these people are cool, go ahead and rent to them. And we've had much better luck that way versus VRBO.
I'm just thinking about, like, how weird it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you mean I'm going to go stay in someone's house? Or, like, I'm going to let someone else stay in my house to earn an income. Yep. It just, conceptually, was not something that made a lot of sense. And so this concept of, like, I'm going to let someone recreate on my land, whether that's to hunt, birdwatch, you know, I'm sure there's different types of recreating. Maybe it's, you know, biking or what have you, or even just an easement or an access to water access or things like. Do you find it's easier now to kind of, like, sell to those landowners because they've seen these other things in the marketplace, like a Vrbo or a Airbnb, or, like, are they, like Greg, saying, like, well, those things suck, they don't do a good job vetting, like, how are you going to control the people that are on my property, or how are you addressing some of those concerns for the, because we have probably have landowners listening just as much as I'm thinking about from the access standpoint of, like, being a hunter, but there's the other side of the equation as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those platforms, Airbnb, VRBO, I still say VRBO. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but, you know, outdoorsy, any of these kind of marketplaces have definitely become ubiquitous in society, even in very, I mean, Landtrust is a very rural company because all our supply is rural. So that has absolutely paved the way for us, for sure. Like I said, guys who'd probably tried this company or versions of this company in 2015, 2016, 2017 would have had a lot to do. You know, it was a lot harder. We haven't had, you know, that concern there because at the end of the day, our landowners are always in control. They're the ones who say yes or no to anybody that makes requests. So they do a lot of their own vetting. They'll talk to them on the phone. Like, we don't try to stop them. I don't know if you guys have used Airbnb. They'll like block out phone numbers. They don't want their hosts and guests talking to each other on the phone. We very much encourage it. Because at the end of the day, this is not just someone's like spare bedroom in an apartment downtown. This is like their home and their work. This is where they live, you know, live and work. It's their legacy. So it's a lot more serious.
Yeah. They're seeing these people come and go on their property, and it sure would be nice to know to put a face to a name, and, you know, I'd be able to identify vehicles coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other point I was going to make there, I guess I got distracted because someone said we have an audio issue on one of the platforms on TikTok, but oh well, sorry, TikTok. I wonder about, like, this might be controversial, and I don't want to make it controversial per se, but I think there's some controversy around R3, reactivate, retain, and recruit as this model to bring hunters in. Older age class is aging out of hunting. There's concern that, you know, it's harder to, if that continues to age out because there's more baby boomers than, you know, Z years or whatever, and people are becoming, I don't know, not less interested in hunting, but there's less of a way to become interested in hunting because of gaming and virtual reality and all of those things from the younger generations. There's this narrative of like, well, no, we don't want to continue to bring more people into the fold. We don't have a problem with people aging out. And the real problem is actually access. I think access is definitely one of the problems. Hunting has become quite crowded, but there's arguments there. I'm not trying to land on one of those. I want to talk to you more about how you're solving a bit of the access problem, because either you have enough money to go in and buy property, you could go on and on a lease with some pals or relatives or on your own, or you could hunt public. And some people do some or both or all three or just one. Right. I know a lot of private land owners, guys, that they don't want to burn up their private property until it's rut and they know their target buck is, you know, roaming. So they go, you know, gallivant around on public because, like, who cares? It's public, which is fine. And then there's guys like me that only hunt public. But sometimes I get public, or what am I trying to say? Public access to private property, whether that's permission from a landowner. I don't do door knocking. Some people do. Or it's a conservation property or conservancy property where I'm putting in for a draw and I get access, and that limits the number of folks that are in there. So, you know, with access being, Bowhunter Planet just commented, access is an issue.
Always is, and always will be.
Yep.
And it's an issue for a number of reasons. If you're never hunted ever, like, it's hard to even know where you can go or how to go about it or if it's crowded or what have you. But I think you're creating yet another, so there's three, right? Private, lease, public. Those have been the three things. Now we have a fourth. Companies like yours that create this, an additional option where I could do what I would call, like, you know, the day lease. I can go hunt this weekend, so to speak, on a property for some, you know, affordable fee because I'm not leasing for the whole season. That's kind of nice.
We need to get into that a little bit. Like, what's affordable?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, affordable might be $150 or $200 or something, not thousands of dollars for a season. Now, maybe that price goes up if it is like a Mecca, like Buffalo County versus, you know, Waukesha, where we are, or Jefferson. But do you hear that narrative about access, and like, how do you, I mean, you clearly just seem to naturally fit into it, but I just wonder if you have a POV on it.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, I scooted back, so I'm not like,
yeah, that's all right,
bathed in sunlight, so sorry about that.
You're starting to get a sunburn on your side of the face, so.
Yeah, we had a 50-degree day here. Yeah, we kind of refer to this as DIY private, right? So it's as little as a day. It makes it, like, I don't have enough money to own ground specifically to go hunt. I don't have enough money to lease ground to go hunt. But I could pay for a couple of days here and there for something that I'm going to use. And so I think a majority of the market is probably in that, like, you know, owning ground to hunt is a very small percentage, and I'm envious. Like, hopefully one day I can. And a lot of people, you know, leasing ground, like if you wanted to go, you know, hunt turkeys in Missouri, it doesn't make a lot of sense for you guys to lease an entire property for the entire season, because you'll go for like 3 days, 5 days. It's like, all right, well, but, you know, land trust makes it really easy, especially for non-resident, you know, people who are going to travel to other states. Yeah, you mentioned door knocking. That's still absolutely an opportunity. It's pretty low conversion rate, I feel like. And a lot of guys, I mean, look, guys, I got three young daughters, four and under. I got, you know, a wife. I got a company. I don't get a ton of days in the field. And when I do, I certainly don't want to spend them knocking on people's doors and getting said no, you know, nine times out of 10. So, you know, and the other piece for me is public is an awesome resource, and we have a lot of it out here in the West. But, you know, those, the precious time that I do have to go outdoors, like the enjoyment for the outdoors for me personally is just being disconnected. You know, I'm sure you guys feel it all the time. Like, you're on your phone right before trying to grind through some work. Like, it just is what it is. So I go outdoors to be in nature, unplugged, you know, leave all that stuff at home and at the office, and either by myself or with my friends or whoever I'm with. And I don't really want to go to a trailhead with 30 trucks. It's just not, like, that's stressful to me. And it kind of defeats the purpose of me going outdoors. You know, and by the way, I'm not some like big buck killer at all. So I go outdoors because it's fun. I like to do it all. So we definitely fall in the spectrum. I think it's awesome. Public land is amazing. And like I said, in the West, we have a lot more of it than most of the country. Like, a majority of the public land is in the Rocky Mountain West. But there's that. There's government programs like Block, WEHA, WMAs, all that stuff. That's all great. The government's trying to incentivize private landowners for access. Then we kind of fall in that, you know, private market space. So access really is going to be kind of a three-legged stool. There's going to be the government. There's going to be the nonprofits. So guys like Pheasants Forever, and they do work and, you know, habitat work on private land. And in order to do that, they require public access. That's great. And then there's going to be the private market, which is stuff like land trust. My belief is that you'll get, just like in most other categories, you'll get most of the scale out of the private markets. But the government and the nonprofits, non-governmental organizations play a big role.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, being a, like, if you own land or what have you, you could, I don't mean to speak of it in a way that, like, would say, well, if you already own private land, you're already on a lease, you could also still do what, you could still join land trust from an access standpoint. Like, you could, maybe there, it's in an area where, like, you know that there's a good buck density or whatever you're after. Like, oh, well, shit, I can go hunt this piece. There's something really special about being on property and knowing you kind of have it to yourself. Or do yes. have it to yourself. That's a different feeling than being on public and going, I might bump into someone. Like, if you're on a private piece and you know, for the most part, like, assuming no one's trespassing, you're the only one there. It's like, oh, I got some room. It's like getting on a plane and like, hey,
it's fun, man.
They didn't fill this thing to the gills. Like, I could pick a different seat and this feels nice. I can stretch out. I can put my leg in the aisle or I can sit in the window. Like, it just feels different when you have it to yourself. And I think that, all in of itself, is a really attractive feature of you know, land trust. But I'd like to hear,
yeah,
I'd like to hear kind of what's the roadmap for you. I don't know what you're the bottom line here. You're the CEO. I don't know what you can or can't share in terms of like what you might want to let a cat out of a bag, but are there things on the roadmap that would be helpful for hunters in addition to access? Are there other things you're baking into the app or to the program?
Sure. Yeah, look, we're going to have some cool things coming out this year. You know, for listeners out there who haven't used Land Trust before, I mean, it's a very familiar platform. Like, if you've used an Airbnb, a VRBO, et cetera, it'll feel familiar, right? You can search by species, by state, by locations. You can look at listings and photos and, you know, read about descriptions and amenities the property has, lodging that the property might have, all that stuff. And see pricing, and you can book with a credit card. We just rolled out Buy Now, Pay Later last week. So now you can book trips and pay for them over time if you'd like to. We have a lot of people who want to book big trips, you know, maybe a year from now. And it's nice for them to be able to say, cool, I'll, you know, I'd like to book that now and pay later. Trip insurance. So we want to make it a really modern experience. We are going to be rolling out you're probably actually the first podcast I talked about this on. We're going to roll out a premium subscription in March. So when in March, TBD, but probably later in March. And so that's for what we'll, you know, I think it's, we're going to call it Land Trust Plus, and it's going to be a pretty cool thing. You're going to be able to follow properties. Like, we have game cams. I mean, we have, I don't know, hundreds of game cams all over the country on our properties. And so we looked at kind of like a feature set of like, hey, what do we as employees at Land Trust, what are these cool benefits that we have that no one else has, which is we hear from all the landowners, you know, we see game cam photos as they stream in because they're our accounts, all that stuff. We know when new like awesome properties are coming on the platform. So we have all these kind of like insider things. So we're going to start to productize that and allow people to follow properties. They'll be able to see, you know, game cam photos are updated or landowners posting updates like, hey, I was just out in the field on the tractor today. Saw like five groups of turkeys over, you know, in the corn or whatever. Just kind of like more of a feed. You'll have some early access. So, you know, it might be, you know, X amount of days when a new property comes on the platform, you know, Land Trust Plus members will have access to that. But yeah, we're going to roll a handful of features out like that. You know, our product roadmap is robust. Our engineering team is doing a good job. But yeah, we want to make sure that we're giving people the most confidence to book, you know, to book properties, whether it's near their place, like I'm literally looking out the window at a couple of our properties here along the Gallatin, or if it's something they're looking at across the country, and to feel confident to make those bookings.
Well, to speak to like something across the country as it relates, like planning a trip to travel has a level of stress just inherently in it, because there's some unknowns, and that's part of the excitement of traveling and so forth. But adding in hunting is a different component. Like, how am I going to get my weapon of choice there, whether it's rifle or bow? What about tags? Like, if I'm going to go hunt Colorado, like, I got to put into a tag. There's, like, a number of prerequisite things that have to fall into place for it to then get booked. Like, I need to make sure I have my tag. I need to make sure, like, I can get my stuff there. I need to make sure there's, like, how have you dealt, how has your platform dealt with people doing more, like, I've been very nucleus about this conversation so far. I've been very selfish about like, oh, other properties in Wisconsin. Can I go hunt them for, you know, a good fee? And is there any?
That's what we call like the local spot. Just like in our parlance, we call those like the local spots. And then we have like the hunting vacations, which is what we're talking about now.
Yeah, and that's a different narrative, I think. So if Greg and I are going to plan an elk hunting trip in Colorado, for, you know, for example, we got to get some OTC
over the counter tag.
Wow,
over the counter.
I said that wrong, but I keep surprising myself tonight. Must have been that Red Bull on the other podcast. But
get your wings.
Like if I put in a tag and I don't get it, like, and I've already booked my, it's not necessarily a stay. Maybe it is. I guess I should be asking. I'm getting ahead of myself. If I book a trip through Land Trust for a hunt, are there cases where I'm booking a stay and access?
Of course, yeah.
And if it's not a stay, do you provide like kind of like a kayak, like, oh, you can also get your car and you're book this and book that? Like, are you, do you think you're, do you feel as though you're turning into something more that would provide amenities above and beyond that are cohesive with what you're offering?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. So, yes, so Land Trust is all about do it yourself access to private land for outdoor recreation. Hunting is like by far the big activity for us, but people are booking fishing, shed hunting, foraging, farm and ranch experiences, all sorts of stuff, right? So it's about access to private land to do outdoor recreation. Now, a lot of our properties do have lodging components. So whether that be, hey, we'll allow you to, you know, tent camp on our place, we'll allow you to pull an RV onto our place. We have a cabin, we have a full-on house, like all that stuff. So there are you know, kind of a range of lodging capabilities. And we are going to be doing some partnerships, you know, for wall tents and stuff like that. So for our properties that don't have any sort of lodging, like we can get, you know, lodging components on those places. That was the other part of the premium membership. We're going to roll out what we call tag insurance. So there's a lot of guys right now at this time of year who are trying to lock in the properties that they want to go hunt this next year, but tags haven't been drawn. You know, let's say it's Montana elk hunting. You know, they'll get drawn in April, but they're like, man, I want that place. Like, I know I'm pretty sure I'm going to draw because I got my points and all that stuff. So tag insurance will, you know, afford for a full refund if you do, you know, book today before the tags have been drawn and you just don't draw for whatever reason. So then you look on, you know, it's funny. You asked about the roadmap. We are going to roll out kind of like a nationwide OTC resource for people. It'll probably be a little bit later this year, but it's a ton of work, man. You're having to go through all these state Fish and Wildlife Program PDFs, essentially. So unfortunately, AI is not super good at reading PDFs. We've tried. And basically listing out the actual over-the-counter opportunities. I mean, today, if you Google search OTC, you know, mule deer tags, you get a bunch of blog posts. It's not that helpful. I guess hey, you could do it in Nebraska and you have to go and do all your own research. We're going to be productizing that into a resource that anyone can kind of access.
Does that compete with something like a hunt reminder or
go
or
hunt?
Would you be like, I think Hunt Reminder has an API that's like public or like you could buy into or get a key for. From my understanding, they have kind of combed all that and made it an easy to, but it's more like here's when it is available. I don't know how robust of a solution they have, but I don't know of any. So you talk about like tag insurance. I don't even want to get into. I would. What I'm trying to say is, God bless your soul. I wouldn't want to like figure out the logistics of how to like to build that out. Good for you, because I think there's a need, and when there's a problem in the market, like hey, you as a business owner, you can provide a solution. But shit. That's a lot of work. Can't even.
Yeah. Hey, imagine. This is all hard work for sure. There's no doubt about it. There's reasons we're building this stuff. You know, we represent a supply. And when you talk about hunting is obviously regulated. It's regulated at the state level. So every state has their own regulations. So we're not doing it necessarily. Like we like the Go Hunt guys a lot. We talk to those guys. I actually met the Hunt Reminder founder. Shot this year,
Alex.
Great guy. We're not doing it to compete in any way. We just need to do this to understand our own inventory. So it's like, hey, we have a new ranch in Montana or a farm in Missouri or whatever who has supply inventory. They want to offer elk hunting or turkey hunting. We need to know what the regulations are for that, because I need to understand what inventory I have so I can match demand to it. So it's really not like I'm not doing like, oh, I want to go compete with Go Hunt or Hunt Reminder. Sure, sure. I'm just doing it because I need to understand my actual inventory and how we can match demand to it. The byproduct is, yeah, sure, I guess we might end up competing in those spaces, but it's not like an intentional thing. It's just like,
yeah,
it's
well,
natural.
That's not
like
a bad thing either. And for the record, there's a saying that I fell in love with recently that competition is for the bottom, collaboration is for the top. And
yeah, totally. You
know, there's plenty to go
That's absolutely right. And like I said, we talked to Go Hunt guys. Those guys are great guys. They have a good product. They have really in-depth research. For us, it's more about unearthing over-the-counter opportunities. So, you know, it's like, hey, there's a lot of people out there. We get so many calls. Someone just wants to come from Mississippi, Missouri, wherever, the Midwest, to come hunt elk in Montana. It's not that they need to kill a bull. They just want to go on the experience, like go to Montana and hunt elk. Now, it could be a cow. They'd be stoked on that. Well, there are over-the-counter cow opportunities that you do not have to draw, and we have a bunch of properties that you could go do that on. So I need to be able to surface the fact that you can do this. It is over-the-counter, and here's like six properties you could do it. So that's why, you know, that's kind of the impetus of why we're doing this.
I think it's pretty cool. Like, I mean, that would make you a destination for me going down that planning trip. If it's like, hey, I've three kids under six. They're all born in September.
Yeah,
so they're all September kids. So like September, I might never go on a bow elk hunt. I don't know. Maybe until they're older. I'm not sure. But if I were to plan it, I would certainly love some assurances like, I didn't get drawn. Yeah. But if you say like there's some insurance on that or what have you, like maybe I can, you know, see those dollars come back my way. But
yeah, put it in for next year.
Cool. Like what a great, I don't know that there's anybody doing that. I mean, certainly, like you mentioned, it's not like ChatGPT is going to figure it out for you. You got to go do the work.
No. Yeah, so we're going to do the work for you because it makes sense for our, look, the entire outdoor economy, if you think about it, gear, licenses, you know, even service providers like guides, outfitters, it all, I would argue, content, it all revolves around what? Going on trips. Land Trust facilitates trips. Like, we're a trips platform. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think about, you know, gear and products and all that kind of stuff. It gets pretty interesting when I like know exactly what you booked, right? You booked a 5-day elk hunt in White Sulphur, Montana, for opening week of rifle season. Well, I don't know. That's pretty interesting information. You probably, you know, you're from the Midwest. You might need a pack. You might need these different kinds of boots. You might need X, Y, and Z. You know, do you need lodging? You can wall tent it. Hey, you want a side-by-side? Hey, Polaris or someone like that. So it starts to get really interesting. You kind of asked about that earlier about like kayaks, like, hey, do you need a rental car? Do you need X, Y, and Z?
There you go. Yeah.
For the hunt and outdoor rec space, it's a little bit different, right? But it's the same kind of concept. We know you just book this thing. Here are a bunch of different things that you might want to have added on. You might have it already, but if you don't,
well, just like any guide, like I go to the Boundary Waters. It's like, do you want to, how DIY do you want this to be? Because we have tiers and packages and so forth. Like, you don't want to bring a cooler wheel. We can have one of those for you. You don't want to bring this, we'll bring that or whatever. Like, then you can kind of, you know, over time you might gain confidence having taken such trips and then feel more comfortable to fully outfit yourself. I really think the... Like we talked about rack up and I got a shed on the wall. It's the only shed I ever found in my life, and it's half eaten by a squirrel in one of the times. But, you know, if there's properties in Iowa that have never seen any foot traffic from another person other than that landowner, and that landowner give a shit about deer, maybe he won't let me hunt them there, but gosh, could I go walk it for sheds? Like,
oh man, we've got some, speaking incredible. Of Iowa, we've got some shed hunting opportunities there for 200 plus inch deer.
That would be so cool absolutely. To find. And you know, sheds are beautiful decor. I love having them around the house. I got a couple from some buddies that had moved, and they actually moved back. I should ask him if he wants some of his sheds back, but I have a couple here. But the only one I have on the wall here is the one that I actually found myself. And then, you know, you talk about like, fishing, so there, you know, the Driftless area here in Wisconsin has some incredible trout fishing, but access and easements are not, I don't think there's too many of them. And if there are, they probably get hit, you know. It's a destination area. Are there properties on land trust that would be lucrative to look at for a fly fishing trip? So then I have a summer spot to go to. Like, it's pretty cool, man, what you've done.
Yeah, and look. You know, the thing I started because I wanted to use it, right? I'm a hunter, fisherman, lifelong, and I just found myself needing, you know, I'm like, hey, we have a ton of public land in Montana, but I would love to go on one of these ranches that has a mile of the Gallatin and just fish by myself for the day or hunt or whatever, right? And I'd be happy to pay the landowner for it. What I have come to over the last almost 5 years now is I'm extremely passionate about our supply because our supply is almost all multi-generation farm ranch families. And so, you know, they are people who are growing our food, and they're the backbone of our society, basically. And, you know, these communities, farming and ranching for production agriculture has not gotten more profitable. It's gotten a lot less profitable. And from my perspective, if we can support America's farm and ranch families by doing stuff that we just love to do as passions, I don't know. I'm pretty into that idea. I know there are some people who just absolutely balk at the idea of paying to go hunt or fish in any scenario. That's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. I love that. Hey, I can,
I mean, you're paying for it in tax dollars. Aren't you paying for it in tax dollars in some way? Like,
yeah, that's so abstract.
Name something
though, right?
Free for me and I'll give you a dollar. There's like, I don't even think it's free anymore, you know?
Yeah. So look, I love that. And when you read, I mean, we have reviews. So for anyone out there who hasn't been on Land Trust, you go look at properties and there's reviews from people who book stuff out there. We read reviews every day that flow through. And from both the landowners and the guests, most of the reviews are like, start off with how cool it was to meet that family or those guests and have them on their place and learn about the farm, the ranch, learn about the history, see it and like have it to themselves. Cause you're right. It is really cool to know that you're going to be the only people there. You can hunt it how you want. You can approach it. You don't have to wake up at the, you know, 2 a.m. to go out and just try to get like your parking spot so that you can get first dibs. Like, you can be like, all right, cool. We can relax a little bit more. We can hunt it the way we want to. We know it's not going to be pressured in any other way. You know, I could bring my kid. It doesn't have to be, you know, we can come out at 8 a.m. It doesn't have to be this like crazy thing. And, you know, I think one of the things is it's still, by the way, it's still hunting. It's just do-it-yourself access. So, you know, the animals don't kill themselves on it. But as we all know, if you've gotten the opportunity to hunt, you know, private farms or ranches, you probably do have a pretty good chance of seeing animals. And I think especially when you look at the R3 stuff and you're looking at bringing new people into this sport, I'm a believer that we should have it. I understand that I am a biased person, but I have some other other reasons why. But if you bring out a new hunter, it's cool to see animals. Even if you don't get to shoot them, like getting close to a doe is a pretty cool thing, right? And seeing them, if they don't know you're there, like that's what gets people hooked. It's not going to be running into 10 different hunters. That's kind of stressful and it's not great. And public land is like, dude, that's like at this stage, you know, do it yourself on public land. That's like a 300 level course. It's not the 101. Like there's a lot of work and research and you have to be sure of yourself. And all new hunters, they're not sure of themselves and they're carrying deadly weapons and they know other people are carrying deadly weapons. And so we see a lot of people who look at land trust as an opportunity to have a controlled, safe entryway into this sport that we love. And by the way, there's a ton of like, you know, people who've killed a lot more things than I've ever killed who love using it too, because it's just like, I don't know, they value their time. They don't have 40 days a year to go hunt. You know, I'm envious deeply of those people who do. I just don't.
Not yet. Maybe you get an exit someday and there you go.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, it's good. It's good to chat about all this stuff. I don't know that I honestly think a bunch of competitors got wiped out. Like, I don't know what they'll happen. Like there was a bunch of them out there and they are not around anymore. And I became like acutely aware of most of them because of the app that I had built in the past, previous to OKS Hunter, because it interfaced directly with that like model of the landowner wanted to know where the person was when they were there, and they wanted to have that like illumination to make sure they were within bounds or didn't do this or didn't do that, and just simply know, oh, someone is on my land today. Like, much like we love to know our Amazon packages or who's dropping a piece of mail off on our porch to our Ring doorbell. Like, it's just our need to know things, especially on our own property, is very. Greg's like watching out his window the other day. I call him, he's like turned into an old man. A kid stepped on my lawn. Get out of here, kid. You know, he'd be one of those guys. But he'd be just the same person that let someone, if he had a bunch of land, you know, help them come onto the property to go experience something like the outdoors in whatever capacity they wanted, so long as they were ethical and moral in their approach. And
well, when you have unethical neighbors that like to leave garbage all over their yard and let their dogs crap and piss all over your yard and not pick it up, you turn into the crusty old man.
I love it. There was a time I went hunting with Greg, and we were hunting out of the same tree, and some guy was out hunting without Blaze Orange, pheasant hunting. He's like, hey, where's your Blaze Orange? It was great. The guy's like, ah, shit. He didn't even know we were there. It was pretty epic. My thoughts, I like they come and they're popping off like too fast. They're jumping out of my mind, but I did have another thought there. I don't know. There's so many opportunities. I mean, turkey hunting's right around the corner. So, like, do you highlight properties? When you talk about the landowners that are going to be sharing, whenever this comes to market, the features that you're talking about on the roadmap of, like, you know, trail cam picks and so forth, could I target properties on your platform that might be better for shed hunting, for turkey, for deer? I mean, obviously, anything in Iowa might be good for all the above, but just in general, like, if that landowner knows, oh, yeah, we got a ton of rafters on our property, come and get them, you know, here they are. Can I filter it down like that? Does it work that way, or will it?
Yeah. So look, this premium membership, we're going to start testing it internally next week. So we'll, you know, be testing for a few weeks, make sure, I'm sure there's some bugs in there. We'll fix them. Maybe not all of them. So, you know, we always listen to our customers every day. We talk to them every day. But you know, when you find properties you're interested in, you'll just start following them. I mean, it'll feel kind of like social media, only it's only cool stuff and none of the other stuff, right? It's just like following properties. I mean, think about just being able to, I don't know, have a direct line to land and in your region and all over the country, and just understand what's happening on properties. At the end of the day, like as hunters, I think all of us like driving down back roads and
love maps, love looking up fields while we're driving. We love, you know,
that's right.
There used to be a live cam of like an eagle's nest or something, and you could just turn it on. There'd always be, maybe the eagle wasn't there, maybe it was, but people just sit there and watch this freaking eagle's nest. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Was this a Wisconsin thing?
Yeah, it was. It was on the Mississippi River somewhere.
Just a freaking camera in an eagle nest, just live streaming 24/7. And there's always somebody watching it. You know, certain trips you could plan too.
Wolf River cam, like when the walleyes start running, that's a thing. Yeah, there's that. You know, guys start tuning in like right now. Are the walleyes running?
Go to like Key, I don't know if it's KeyWest.com. I remember I went there on a trip, and you could literally look at a camera on Duval Street to be like, hey, here's what's happening right now.
Yep.
And when you start to envision going somewhere, you just get this obsession of like, I want to see it. I'm going to YouTube it. I'm going to research it. I'm going to look at all the stuff. I'm going to see all the reviews. I'm going to go to TikTok. I'm going to go to, you know, Instagram, look at the hashtags for that area. I mean, certainly following a property would be a very high-profile pastime if you're booking a trip to go to that place.
Yeah, I mean, look, we designed this because we use our own product, right? And again, I looked at like the advantages we had of being internal, like employees at LandTrust. We see all this traffic. But there's kind of two ways I think about it. You know, it was shoulder season for elk, so you can kill cow elk here. Kind of like up until February, I don't know if it's 15th or not, but there's properties in and around the Bozeman area where if it snows, like it gets cold and it snows, most likely the elk are going to move onto these properties. So I want to follow that property. So the landowner is like, hey, you know, it's getting cold, snows, the, you know, it snowed, the elk are moving down. Cool. I want to book that. So it's like more of this active following where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm watching this to see when I want to book it. And then there's other scenarios where, like, you know, I'm going to do a turkey hunt down in Mississippi this year. But it'd be cool to just follow that property. Like, we already booked it. It'd be cool to see game cam photos and landowner updates and whatnot, right? Just getting, you know, we're calling getting it field hyped. Notes, but just getting those yeah. field notes from, you know, just it's just cool. I mean, is there anything more addictive than game cam photos or, you know, hearing about properties you're interested in? I don't think so.
Not really.
Not, well, if you're a hunter, yeah. that's it. That's like the creme de la creme. Like, I mean, obsessed is a not a strong enough word to describe how we think about this stuff. It's a problem. If you're married, usually.
Yeah. yeah. If someone says, do you want to see a game cam pic? You never say no.
Yeah. It's like, always no. Yeah. I can't keep the crack away from me. If I have one look, then I'll be at it all night.
like, yeah.
Jeez. No, that's pretty cool. Well, that, I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pike. Thanks for sharing it here yeah. first, I suppose.
Appreciate you having me.
And, you know, obviously, like, how do people, is it land? So what's interesting about your name is I think land trust is an actual like legal term.
Yep.
Because you can put land in a trust. So
you can.
I imagine that's tricky to navigate from. I'm a digital person in my career. So like I'm thinking, holy shit, that's an SEO nightmare. but like, what?
Well, it's a good point, man. When I when I started this company, I did not know what land trusts were. So I will own up to my ignorance there. So yes, traditional land trusts are conservation easement organizations. They're all nonprofits. So I don't worry about SEO because nonprofits aren't super great at that. And we got landtrust.com because we're a for-profit company. But look, when I named the company, I took the two most important words I thought to making this business successful, which is land. We're a private lands company. You know, without it, we are nothing. And trust, like old fashioned trust, like, hey, I'm going to let you onto my land or, you know, like, hey, I'm going to entrust that you're representing your land correctly. So, you know, I put those two words together, but yeah, it's just landtrust.com. On Instagram, it's landtrust_hunt. I actually don't have social media. I haven't had it since like 2015 or 16. A funny side story. I was at NWTF, this last weekend or, you know, Wednesday through Saturday. And I met two gals and, you know, we're just meeting them and, hey, what do you do for work? And I come to find out that they're like the largest TikTok hunting and fishing influencer gals. And I have no idea because I don't have social media. So it was kind of like funny.
That's like
a funny instance. Like, whoops.
There's a stoic quote or.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to say something stoic, but Greg's like, motherfucker.
Whatever.
I forget what it was, but basically some emperor was like, I think this is in the book, Ego is the Enemy. Some emperor goes up to this guy in the, on the, some philosopher on the sidewalk who's just, you know, sitting there looking like a homeless person. It might've been Epictetus. Cause I think he was one of the one that was like homeless and had some like bouts of like prison and so forth. But
yeah, hepatitis, that's it.
The Epictetus, the emperor was like, you know, if I could do anything for you, what would you like me to do? And he's like, you're actually blocking the sun. Can you just move? And it was like, talk about a blow to the ego for the most powerful person at that point in time, probably ruling Rome. Is like, I just told you I can do anything for you. And you just told me to get out of the sun. Like, Jesus. So like those girls yeah. are like, you don't know who we are. That's awesome that you have social.
I felt pretty foolish, especially in that.
That's
right.
I would have been the same
obviously
way.
Everyone knew who they were, you know, like I just didn't.
Who were they? Did you get their names? Do you remember who they were?
I actually have one of their cards here. Macy Watkins and Maggie Williams.
There you go. Yeah, they're pretty influential.
I know that now. I didn't know that then. Sorry, gals.
That's great.
I apologize. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't have this stuff. The company does. The company has social media. We just don't. I just don't personally have it.
I think one of them's dating Slade Johnston,
yeah.
who is on
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, so I was talking to Slade. Yeah, yeah, Slade was, you know, Slade and I have known each other for a few
years. He's in the real
and...
estate side. Yeah, I'm assuming you probably know him.
Yeah. Yeah. Slade's he's a great guy and a very nice guy. And I just, I guess I made myself look like a bit of an ass.
Well, it I think happens. It's humbling for folks. Well, you know, if you're not on social, you don't know. And there's a lot of, I think I met a Green Bay Packer once when I was a kid, and he was intentionally trying to like not look like an NFL player. They were staying at some hotel, a whole bunch of them, like back in the heyday of like the Super Bowl winning Packers of 1995, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, you're, you know, whoever, Andre Rison, I think was who it was. And he was like a big deal to me, but he was just chilling in the hot tub and he was happy to like talk to some young punk kid and say, good to meet you, you know. And I had no idea. And it's pretty neat to, sometimes it's cool to not know. It's like a little bit, you meet the person better then.
Yeah.
Anyway, random stuff. But the reason about the land trust thing, I was like, oh, what's the website? Where can we tell people to find you? But it's landtrust.com. And I appreciate the explanation around the name. That is cooler than what I, you know, anticipated it being like this other play on words. So.
No, that's it, man. It's I'm pretty literal. So, and like I said, it's, you know, I'm competing on SEO with nonprofits. So we, I don't know, we compete pretty well on that. But yeah, so anyone who's interested, look, we're a organization of real people. There's no AI chatbots or anything like that. Like, you can call us if you see stuff you're interested or you want to like understand more about it. The website's not clear enough. Like, hey, look, our product is good, but it always can be better. So just like text us or call us. And there's real life people that sit in this office I'm sitting in right now that talk to customers all day, every day.
So if I am door knocking and I really, really want to get on this property because I know it's holding, can I tell you about it and you'll turn into my salesperson for me? I think you should really add this property, Nick. Like, let me tell you how good it is.
Probably. You know, what's funny though, you know, we talk about this often. So what I would say is, even if this is marginally interesting to you, I would say create a free land trust account, because in the account creation process, we ask you what, you know, you're interested in. If you say hunting, we ask you what species you're interested in, what state you live in, what state you're interested in. And then we let you know every single time. So if you said mule deer in Nebraska, the moment we get a new mule deer in Nebraska property, you'll get a text or an email from us. So we literally are scouting for you around the country 365 days a year.
Well, much like,
and that's free.
That's handy.
Much like Uber was a chicken and egg problem when they launched, like they needed drivers and passengers to convince the drivers and the passengers. It was a really interesting scenario. Same thing with, you know, obviously Airbnb and so forth. And so I imagine if you get enough folks from Wisconsin signing up, you can now go to the landowners and pitch and be like, hey, look, we have a demand or supply problem. Like we don't have supply for the demand. Do you want to open up property here? Do you want to allow access? We have a number of folks that would love to access your property. You could pull in some extra revenue, pay bills, make ends meet, whatever, by just letting some folks go shoot hunting or turkey hunting or what have you.
Yep, absolutely. And I would say, just for folks, you know, as opposed to leasing, where whoever leases it basically has obviously exclusive access to it for the year or 2 years, however long the period is. When landowners list with land trusts, they still retain all the control. So we see, like, we'll see $1 bookings come through the platform, and it's like a landowner letting the neighbor kid or a friend or someone that door knocked come on their property. They just want them to book it through land trust because there's insurance coverages and calendaring and all that stuff. So they want to make sure it's blocked out. But it's a very different thing. And something we've heard a lot of our farm and ranch landowners say is, yeah, we've, you know, we've leased in the past, but honestly, like, they didn't like that because they sold a property right away. So when they leased, they couldn't use it themselves, their friends, their neighbors, their business partners, whatever. They couldn't just say yes to people. So I would say that, you know, with land trust, you don't have to worry about like, oh, this is locked up. It's not locked up. The landowner still has the control. They can black out a week for their friends or family. They can let the door knocker, if you're a really good door knocker or you got a cute little kid, like, they can still say yes to all that stuff.
You could use
so
land
it's
trust
not just like
as
locked
a,
up.
As a tool, if you are a door knocker, like, hey, if you sign up for this program with me, you'll know when I'm there. You can block it out, or you'll have some, the insurance part will be handled. I think that's a huge selling proposition for anybody door knocking, because that is a question. If you watch Seek One and you see Lee Ellis, like, one of the things I think he's talked about is, you know, the question that he gets back is, well, I don't have, like, I'm not just going to let you on my land. What if you get hurt? Like,
right.
He has to do some insurance write-up things or what have you, much like you wouldn't let a contractor work on your roof if they're not insured. They fall off. Now you got a lawsuit on your hands. So, like, that is a big, like, I wouldn't say yes to a lot of people if I don't understand, even if I wanted to say yes, if I don't understand the insurance implications, it's a no for me, dog, you know, for that reason. So if you help address that, that in and of itself is highly marketable to the hunters that are door knocking as a tool in their toolkit to go knock on doors and say, well, I can address that concern, and here's how. And now it's really easy.
Yeah, and if you build that relationship, that landowner can say, cool, you can go for $5 today. Like, I'll market it, you know, it'll be on land trust for, you know, $150 a day, but I like you, you introduce us
to me. Yeah, like you said, it's not about the platform, it's about the people. So much like, you know, I met my wife on a dating app, actually. But
me too.
Like, it's like, at some point, you get her phone number, she gets yours, and now you're not ever going back on that app again because they're terrible. Or at least they were when I was, you know, doing that, because that was before Tinder and all that stuff. So I don't know what it's like anymore. But
you were on Plenty of Fish, weren't you?
I was on OkCupid. That's what it was. And
OkCupid on desktop.
Yeah, and then we took it offline. You know, we did our own thing, and it was like, we don't need to be communicating this to diminish your product, but at some point, like, well, now I know you. I can just talk to you here, and we can leverage just as needed. I think the goal of, like, those dating apps is to get people off the app because I can conclude. I'd love to go back to them and be like, hey, do you want a case study? I got 3 kids, a house, and a wife from your app. Put me in a commercial.
Yeah, I too have three kids and a wife out of a dating app. But yeah, guys, I appreciate you having me on. I would say, and I know R3 has been mentioned, I have not heard an argument for or against R3 that I agree with. I think, you know, if you like to ski, no one's trying to regulate skiing out of existence. If you like to surf or golf or any of these other, you know, awesome outdoor activities, no one's trying to get that thing banned. Hunting is for sure every single day of the year in most of these states is trying to get banned. And there's a lot of countries around the world where it has been banned. So this isn't tinfoil hat stuff. So I am all for R3. We need as many people doing this stuff. The reason that hunting has felt crowded is because our supply is shrinking. Mm-hmm. It's not that we have this explosion of demand. We don't. You can look at hunting license sale data back to 1950. It's very static. As per capita, it's actually shrinking. It is because we are losing, like, you know, whatever, 600 acres an hour or something of ag lands to, you know, development. So we're losing supply. But I can't stress enough, like, I am super pro R3. Setting aside, of course, I'm the CEO of its company because I like to hunt and I like to fish, but hunting specifically, fishing is not, I don't think, at any risk. Hunting is absolutely at risk of being regulated out of existence.
There's an ethical component to hunting where you're taking a life that it weighs heavier on people's minds, and they don't have an understanding of how that life is taken or why. They think life taken equals bad, let's ban this. And you see it on social when like, how many people are posting as their actual post, this content won't be seen anymore. Like, we took it down. This is not, we're not going to share this with your followers. I mean, the folks out of Silicon Valley clearly don't understand our pastime, which is why we love, like, the app, like, Go Wild as an example. It's a good place to.
Oh, yeah. Brad's awesome. You know?
And Brad's a good dude, of course. He's a bit of a
Yeah. I mean, especially for any of us with kids who want to see our kids do this stuff, I don't know, man. Any of these other outdoor activities are not under any threat of getting banned. Hunting, absolutely. If you don't think it is, you're delusional. It's happening all over the country. It's nonstop fight. It's well-funded. We need voters. And you're not going to vote for something if you don't really care about it, at least, you know, from what I've seen. So I am hardcore pro R3. Yes, access is an issue, of course. I'm trying to do something for that. I'm not the only solution. There's plenty of other solutions. But we need hunters because hunters need to vote for things to, you know, protect hunting.
Yeah, we'll just get, like, we talk about a lot, like, our mission ethos is rooted in, you know, sustaining and creating healthy relationships in the hunting community and using kindness as a you know, podium to make it louder and prevent infighting and so forth. And, you know, we can't, if we don't get our house in order and, you know, all at least row the same direction for some time here, like, we're not going to win any battles outside our house, we're going to lose inside before the battle even gets here. And so I think we'll lose at the polls any day of the week. Like, if people go to vote on it right now in our country, we are outnumbered by a factor of some ridiculous degree or like delta. And, you know, that's why I think it's important to get along first so we can, like, do something productive with this. And I believe in R3 as well. I do hear that access is a challenge. It's good to hear that you're literally doing something about it.
I'm working on it, man. There, and again, we're not a silver bullet. But it takes access is a spectrum. So it takes, you know, a bunch of different players doing what they do. There is no silver bullet, but certainly I 100% agree. R3 is a very important thing.
Agree. Well, landtrust.com, I'm assuming the business has social properties, even though you personally don't.
It does, yeah.
So yes. I imagine it's under the same name, and folks can go follow along and do their thing there and
That's
comment,
right.
engage, and all that jazz. But thanks for being on the show. I'm surprised we didn't get any callers, but what I've learned about having a guest is oftentimes our callers don't want to be interruptive. So I'm not super surprised. But
it's not just me. No, they might not like me, man. There's possible.
I think it is one of those things where they don't know how to insert themselves if we're having a good dialogue. So thanks for folks that jumped in the comments and the folks that tuned into the live. We'll get this in podcast land later this evening. We'll tag you and all the stuff and all that jazz. But we'll end the recording for now. We'll have you stay on for just a minute here. But thanks again for hanging out with us.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You bet.